What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Between the Tackles. Off-season's in full swing. We just got done doing free agency talk. We've already given you a mock draft. We're going to get into mock draft 2.0 in this episode. But before we do, as always, please be sure to download, comment, like, subscribe, follow, leave us a five-star review if you're enjoying our podcast here. That goes a long way in helping our platform continue to grow out to the masses. You can find us on the social medias at Tackles Pod on X, TikTok, Instagram, you name it, we're there. Facebook, we're even there now too. Search Between the Tackles on Facebook, video clips, interact with us, leave us some comments. We love, you know, going back and forth with you listeners out there, given hearing what you guys have to say and, you know, telling us either we're amazing or we're idiots. I don't care. I love hearing it. And please, again, like I said, it continues to help our platform continue to grow. Here with my pal Manish Mehta. How are you doing tonight? And are you ready to get into some draft talk?
Yeah, I am. I'm super excited. And for what it's worth, idiot would be a compliment. If I've heard much worse through the years. But yes. Yeah, I'm excited about this. You know, post-free agency mock draft, things change, teams' needs change, and let's get rolling.
Let's get right into it. Well, I can tell you one pick that is not going to change. I don't care what teams did in free agency. This pick wasn't changing. It's the number one overall pick. It's the Las Vegas Raiders. They're taking quarterback Fernando Mendoza from Indiana. Look, we talked about a mock draft 1.0 here. He's a fit for Clint Kubiak's scheme there. They added offensive line help for him with Tyler Lindenbaum, and they've added to the defense with N'Kobe Dean and Quay Walker. Look, the team spent a lot of money in free agency because they know they have to protect their prized number one overall pick quarterback.
Yeah, this is Tom Brady's guy. We'll see what the Heisman Trophy winners got when the bullets start flying for real. At number two, the Jets are making the first of their two first-round picks, one of five teams with two first-round picks in the 2026 NFL draft. In the first version of this mock draft, I went with Ohio State linebacker Arvell Reese. I'm going with a more traditional pass rusher, Texas Tech's David Bailey. I think he's a safer choice in many respects. Doesn't have the same variance as Reese does. And I think that Darren Mooji, their general manager, Aaron Glenn, will be very happy with this pick. And we'll see what they do with their second pick midway through the first round. But I think, you got to be pleased with getting perhaps the best pure pass rusher in this draft.
Yeah, I think it's clear the Jets are going to have to go defense first, given how their defense was last year, historically bad. There's been no secret about how we feel about that on this podcast this year. So I think the right move for the New York Jets is to definitely boost that defense, especially with Aaron Glenn calling the plays down there. Number three, it's the Arizona Cardinals on the clock. Look, in our first mock draft, we went with the offensive line. Francis Maiugoa, I think I said it right. Man, I love screwing up pronunciation, so please don't hesitate to call me out if I got it wrong. But in this draft, look, he wasn't there in the first, but he's there in the second draft, the second version of the mock draft. It's Ohio State linebacker Arvell Reese. He's a guy that is incredible off ball, like Micah Parsons. You know, the defense of the Cardinals, clearly a rebuilding team. We might even be seeing them tanking for number one next year's draft too. So they want to start adding these pieces in. Look, the linebacker position is a large gaping hole for the Cardinals this year. So for them to start building from the ground up in this operation, I think going with an elite player like Arvell Reese is a good selection with the number three overall.
Yeah, I love the pick. I think things really get frisky with the Titans at the four pick. We initially had them going with a pass rusher, but Robert Saleh and company addressed pass rushing during free agency and before free agency when they traded for Jermaine Johnson and then signed John Franklin Myers. So I am going with the undisputed best running back in this class, Notre Dame's Jeremiah Love. almost 7 yards per carry the past two seasons. He's a dual threat, caught 55 passes. Is he the next Bijan Robinson or Christian McCaffrey? Time will tell, but I do know this. He will be an immediate help for Cam Ward. And you saw what the Titans did in free agency by adding wide receiver Wandale Robinson for offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. Well, now Daboll gets another piece to the puzzle in Jeremiah Love, who will team up with Tony Pollard to be a nice 1-2 punch in 2026 to help out Cam Ward. I think they needed more offensive firepower, and I think that Brian Daboll is going to be very happy with this pick.
I totally agree with that with you. I think it's a great fit for Love there. They did add on their defense in free agency, you know, getting some guys that have played with Robert Saleh in the past. And I think it's a, you know, a slam dunk that they need to help out their second year quarterback in Cam Ward there. And I think Jeremiah Love is a fantastic fit for that. Moving on to number five. This is a team, it's the New York Giants. Now, in the first mock that we did, we had them taking an offensive tackle. Look, I think it's no secret that they need to get some defense there in New York as well. So in this version of the mock draft, we have them taking LSU cornerback Mansur Delane. Again, with the pronunciation, some of these names are so hard for me to pronounce, but I got it there. Look, they need help with the defense. He's the best cornerback in the draft. He only allowed 14 catches as a primary defender last season. So I think if that could translate to the NFL level, which a guy who is picked in the top five of the NFL draft, you're expecting that to happen. I think adding that to, you know, John Harbaugh's defense in New York would be a great start for them to kind of, again, continue to build what Harbaugh is looking to do there in New York.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. At six, we're doing a little pivot. The Browns still need a wide receiver, still need a weapon. We had them going that route in the first mock draft. Now at offensive line during free agency, they did address both guard spots and right tackle. They still need a left tackle, and Georgia left tackle Monroe Freeling has really opened eyes from a fan and public perspective. I think that NFL teams knew what Freeling was, but there was a little lag time with fans kind of catching up to what he could be and what he is. That's why I have him going with the number six overall pick. He's only allowed 8 pressures in nearly 407 pass blocking snaps in 2025. That's incredible. I'm sure Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, or whoever will be the quarterback of the future for the Cleveland Browns will be happy to have Freeling in the fold. I think it makes a lot of sense to shore that up because, like the Jets, the Browns are one of the teams that have multiple first-round picks. We'll see what they do with the second pick.
Certainly will be interesting to see where we go with him in this mock draft 2.0. Pick 7, Washington Commanders. We didn't have a change here. We didn't have a change. This is another same pick from our first version of the mock draft. We had them selecting Ohio State linebacker Sonny Styles in 1.0. We still have them selecting him here in mock draft 2.0. Look, Dan Quinn would love to add to his defense there. He showed it in free agency. They're really bolstering that defense there in Washington. You know, Sonny Styles will plug right in, play with Leo Chanel, Adafi Owe. These names, man, they always get me. Clavion Chaisson from the Patriots as well, going to the Commanders this year. It's clear what they want to do and build that defense. I think that, you know, at 7, also a consideration that the Commanders have to take is adding a weapon for Jaden Daniels. We'll see, you know, if when we do 3.0, if we decide to make a change there. But I think right now makes the most sense to have Ohio State linebacker Sonny Styles again continue to be picked by the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, and the Commanders general manager, Adam Peters, saw firsthand what a true leader at the linebacker position can do for defense. He saw it with Fred Warner at his prime with the San Francisco 49ers, and obviously had Warner at the tail end here with the Commanders. Styles just makes too much sense for us to move off of that. We'll see what happens moving forward, but I think it's a smart and solid choice by the Commanders, who really need to bounce back from a terrible season last year. I'm going at number 8. You know, we went with the New Orleans Saints taking Jeremiah Love in the first version of this mock draft. Obviously, his love is off the table. What I thought was telling in free agency is that both the New Orleans Saints, who pick now at 8, and the Kansas City Chiefs, who pick right after at 9, both signed running backs in free agency, with Travis Etienne, now known as Achan, going to the New Orleans Saints in free agency, and Super Bowl MVP, former Seattle Seahawks running back Kenneth Walker, going to the Chiefs. I think both of those teams knew that Jeremiah Love would not last and fall to 8 or 9 in the draft. So I'm giving Tyler Shuck and Kellen Moore another offensive weapon, and that's Ohio State wide receiver Carnell Tate. We talked about the controversy, quote-unquote, regarding Tate's 40 time at the Combine. I don't think that really matters. He's shorthanded. He had no drops on catchable targets in 2025 for Ohio State. And yes, this is a deep wide receiver class, but I have been steadfast in my belief that Tate is the best wide receiver in this class. And I know that Kellen Moore is going to be happy to have another weapon opposite of Chris Olave for their young quarterback.
Absolutely. It screams a fit. You want to get that young weapon in there to help your young quarterback. Moving on to number 9. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. In the first mock draft, we had the Chiefs helping out Steve Spagnuolo, was drafting Miami's edge Reuben Bain. In this version, though, we're going to help out Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid on the offensive side of the ball. And that's going to be taking an offensive tackle slash guard, Francis Maui-Noah. I figured out how to say his name. There we go. We got it right there. Look, the Chiefs, you know, are having some turnover on the offensive line. You know, Juwan Taylor was released. Having again, you can never protect your most prized asset enough. And I think selecting an offensive lineman high will go a long way to help the Kansas City Chiefs kind of rebound from their down year last year. You know, they also spent a lot of money on bringing in the Super Bowl MVP Kenneth Walker to address their running back problem. So I think restocking the depth on that offensive line is the best way for the Kansas City Chiefs to utilize this 9th overall pick.
Yeah, it's a smart pick in my estimation. At number 10, Cincinnati Bengals. You can't have enough defense, especially when your defense sucked like it did last year. And I think in free agency, Zach Taylor did a really nice job adding Seahawks edge pass rusher Boye Mafe and the Kansas City Chiefs safety Brian Cook. Well, they're just going to add to that defense by taking Miami edge Reuben Bain Jr. Lots of questions about his arm length. I don't really care about that. I look at the production. I look at his explosiveness. 9.5 sacks, 15.5 tackles for loss last season. Improving the offense is going to make Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase very happy people. And I just think it just makes too much sense to keep adding and improving that defense, given what the Bengals have seen from that defense in the past couple seasons.
I would say that the defense for the Bengals is the way for them to be successful, given the amount of money that they have spent on the offensive side of the ball for Joe Burrow there. So I think that's a great pick. Moving on to number 11, it's the Miami Dolphins with now their first of two picks in the first round of the NFL draft this year. Given the state of the Dolphins roster, really could go in any direction and improve their team, given where they're at now. But given the fact that they've hired a rookie head coach this year in Jeff Hafley, and given the fact that Jeff Hafley's specialty is defense, we're going to take Ohio State safety Caleb Downs here for the Miami Dolphins. I think he's a perfect fit for what Jeff Hafley is looking to do down there. It's clear that their secondary needs a facelift. You know, Micah Fitzpatrick is no longer there, among others. So, I think addressing the secondary is a fantastic way to go. Another kind of sneaky kind of selection you could throw in here would be Tennessee cornerback Jamaad McCoy, who didn't play last season in college due to his ACL, but he was an incredible, he performed incredibly in 2024. I think he could be a great fit. But I mean, again, the Dolphins have made it clear that they are tearing this thing down to the studs to rebuild, and getting a guy like Caleb Downs is a great way to start in the draft this year.
Yeah, I think he's too good to pass up. Now, of course, wide receiver has emerged as a position of need after Jeff Hafley and their general manager, John Eric Sullivan, traded away Jalen Waddle to Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. So they're going to have to figure out what to do at that position. But I think that position is about a dozen deep through the first 2 days of the draft, and they could address that perhaps later in the first round or on day two. I think it's a little too rich at 11 to take a wide receiver. And what I don't think is an exceptional wide receiver class, just a deep one. Downs makes a lot of sense. We're going to number 12, to another team with multiple first-round picks, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys have need in the secondary, at linebacker, edge pass rusher, even though they traded for Rashawn Gary from the Green Bay Packers. They also traded away Osa, their defensive tackle. I'm not even going to begin to pronounce his last name. So they've got holes on the defensive side. The first version of this mock draft, we had them taking an edge pass rusher. This time, I'm taking the guy that you just mentioned, Tennessee cornerback Jermaine McCoy. Is there some risk involved because he missed much of the season with an ACL injury? Yes, there is, but I think he'll have ample time to recover and recuperate. And frankly, you can make a case that McCoy, not Mansoor Delane, is the best cornerback when healthy in this class. So I like the pick for Dallas. They, much like the Cincinnati Bengals, have to really load up on getting young, cheap guys on defense.
Absolutely. They really need to do that with their defense. I think that's a big deal. Moving on to 13, it's the Los Angeles Rams with the 13th overall pick, courtesy of the Atlanta Falcons. Now, in our first version of the mock draft, we knew that the Rams needed to address their defense, right? We had them taking Tennessee quarterback Jermaine McCoy with this pick. And the time since we recorded that episode to now, they have bolstered their secondary. They gave up their second first-round pick plus a fourth and sixth-round pick to get a Pro Bowl cornerback in Trent McDuffie from the Chiefs. They also signed the former Chief cornerback Jalen Watson. So I'd say they've invested now in the defensive side of the ball this year. So we're going to go to help out Matthew Stafford, the old man of the league now, Matthew Stafford, and continue to bolster weapons for him. Arizona State wide receiver Jordan Tyson. Look, Davante Adams ain't getting any younger. He's getting up there in age. So they want to kind of bring in that next generation to play alongside Puka Nacua. And there's no better guy to do it than Jordan Tyson.
Yeah, I love the Tyson pick if he can stay healthy. I mean, that's the big bugaboo. He's an explosive player, has had some durability issues. And the Rams reportedly were shopping Davante Adams, reportedly were interested in A.J. Brown. They're looking to upgrade at wide receiver. I think Jordan Tyson makes a lot of sense for them. Just another weapon on an already explosive offense, but on an offense that could use an infusion of youth at the pass-catching position opposite of Puka Nacua. Speaking of wide receivers, the Ravens at 14, the infamous 14th pick, the pick that the Ravens got back after the Max Crosby trade debacle with the Las Vegas Raiders. What are they going to do? Are they going to go offensive line, defensive line? Are they going to give Lamar Jackson some help? I think they're going to give Lamar Jackson some help. They're going with USC wide receiver Mekhi Lemon. To me, that's an area that really needs to be upgraded. Zay Flowers needs a little bit of help. They lost Isaiah Likely in free agency. Mark Andrews is not getting any younger. They need to surround Lamar Jackson with a little bit more weaponry. I like Lemon as the second best or third best, depending on how you view Tyson and his durability receiver in this draft. I'm going wide receiver. You can go interior line if you want. That would be a very Ravens-like pick. But I think Jesse Minter goes with the wide receiver from USC.
Moving on to 15, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In our first version of this draft, we said defense and had them select Texas A&M's edge, Cassius Howell. We're not changing our tune on this. They need to improve that defense in Tampa Bay this year for defensive-minded head coach Todd Bowles. But we're going to have them take Miami's edge, Akeem Mesidor. A lot of people out there think he's not too far behind Reuben Bain. The difference is that Mesidor is a little older. He's going to turn 25 before the season, but just because of that. We can't deny what he was last season with Miami, going all the way to the national championship game, was lights out. You know, I think in the running game, he's going to dominate the interior guards of the lines. You know, sacks, pressures, he was incredible last season for Miami. I think it will translate well for a team that it really needs to kind of restock their defense after last season, that saw them get out to a hot start and collapse down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Todd Bowles loves his pass rushers, and I'll say that knowing Todd Bowles. And this is a guy, you know, if you can get past the age, can make an immediate impact. All right, now I'm going for the New York Jets, 16th pick. Maybe an unconventional pick in some people's eyes. They took an edge pass rusher in Texas Tech's David Bailey with the number 2 overall pick. I think they're taking an edge rusher again, and I'm going with Auburn edge Keldrick Faulk. You pair him with Bailey, and you know, conventional wisdom might be, well, why would you do that? You've got so many other areas of need on the defensive side of the football. Aaron Glenn's defense was horrific last year. I will point to the Atlanta Falcons, who took 2 pass rushers in the first round last year. They actually traded with the Atlanta Falcons, gave up a future first rounder to get James Pierce. And, you know, I like the idea of pairing up Faulk and Bailey. Bailey, more polished, true pass rusher. Faulk, immense potential. Yeah, you could have gone with safety, but the Jets kind of plugged their safety hole in the short term with some quick fixes. I like the idea of having 2 dynamic pass rushers to go along with Will McDonald, they already have in the fold. You can't have too many guys rushing the quarterback, creating havoc on the quarterback. I think that would make life so much easier on the back end for the cornerbacks and safeties. So that's the move that I would go. You have a chance to get 2 bookend dynamic edge pass rushers with the first 16 picks in the drafts. You do it. And I think ultimately that would be a wise choice for Aaron Glenn and their general manager, Darren Muji.
It's been my motto. It's been my motto about having significant depth at those positions. And if you can get 2 elite players there, I think that would be a fantastic start to the rebuild for the New York Jets. Moving on to the Detroit Lions. You know, in our first mock, we had them go defense. This week, we're going to have we're going to have them go offensive line. We're going to have them take Utah offensive tackle. Jeez, I can't talk tonight. Jeez, ridiculous. Spencer Fano is going to be the selection for the Detroit Lions. Look, you know, we identified in our previous episode about them moving on from their stud left tackle, Taylor Decker. So there is a hole to fill there for the Detroit Lions. Spencer Fano could be that guy. If he's not that guy, he's got positional flexibility. He can play anywhere on that offensive line, obviously outside of center. But he's a guy that, you know, you can really utilize in many different ways. And I think that would go a long way for helping, you know, Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs, and that entire offense kind of retool, rebolster, you know, get younger on the offensive line.
At 18, we're changing players. We're keeping the same position. The first mock draft, we had Oregon safety Dylan Thienemann going to Minnesota, and Thienemann was a scouting combine star. He clearly an athletic player, but in that first mock, we had Toledo safety Emmanuel McNeil Warren off the board. In this version, he is still available. I think he's the better player, the more explosive player. You know, he can play the run, aggressive in alleys, just eye-popping hits. And I do not think that Kevin O'Connell is going to pass up on McNeil Warren. He's the guy who's going to replace Harrison Smith and probably the long-term answer for the next decade at that position for the Minnesota Vikings.
Moving on to 19. Let's move it. Let's kick it right along here. Carolina Panthers on the clock. In the first draft, we were talking about how they need help on the edge. They need help defensively. They've spent quite a bit of money in free agency this year on defense by adding Jalen Phillips, Devin Lloyd, some big names to address kind of that middle layer of that defense. So we're going to have them go offense here. You know, to help out their now third-year quarterback, Bryce Young, and, you know, a guy here that kind of wowed at the NFL Combine a couple weeks ago, and that's Oregon tight end Kenyon Sadiq. We talked about him quite a bit during our first version of this mock draft, but he's an athletic freak. Like, he's a weapon for Bryce Young. What did he run? Like a 4.35, 40 at the combine. You know, pairing him with a guy like Tet McMillan really could do a lot of wonders to help out Bryce Young as he looks to take that, you know, that traditional third year leap in terms of his development. And I think getting a weapon like Kenyon Sadiq could go a long way to helping that happen.
Yeah, it's fascinating looking at a team's needs before free agency and after free agency. And I think the Panthers are a great example of how different it can be after free agency, because they had glaring holes at pass rusher. They, mm-hmm. they addressed that by getting former Philadelphia Eagles pass rusher Jalen Phillips. They had a question mark about who's going to replace their injured left tackle. And they drafted, I'm sorry, they signed Rashid Walker from the Green Bay Packers to a one-year deal. And that really left weapon as the glaring hole. And I do think that Sadiq would be a good addition for general manager Dan Morgan, who has a history, by the way, of drafting offensive skill position players. If you look at the last couple years when he's been in charge, and even dating back to when he was an assistant general manager for the Panthers, they have gone heavy on the offensive side of the ball, specifically offensive skill position. So I think Sadiq would be a perfect fit and really matches Dan Morgan's recent draft history.
Absolutely.
Oh. All right, we're going to Cowboys, their second pick in the first round. We had them taking a cornerback with the number 12 overall pick. I'm staying on that side of the ball. I'm taking a safe pick, maybe an ambitious pick, in that many people think he'll be on the back end of the first round. If he gets into the first round, I have him, you know, about two-thirds of the way in, and that's Georgia linebacker C.J. Allen. Smart player, solid player. I don't think a risky player in any sense. I think you know what you're getting with C.J. Allen, and that to me, even if it means you're quote-unquote reaching by a handful of picks, is worth it.
Absolutely. I think, like I said, you want to get that defense figured out if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan. Moving on to 21, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. We had them going wide receiver in the first round of the draft. We're going to have them stay on the offensive side of the ball, but we're going to have them address the offensive line, you know, to protect whoever it is that's going to play quarterback for this team next year, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or they end up, you know, drafting somebody later in the draft for it. But we're going to go with Penn State interior offensive lineman. And again, I have a tough name to pronounce here. Olivivenga Ione. Did I get it right?
Yeah, well, they call him Vega, so let's just go with Vega.
Vega. Okay, I'm just going to stick with Vega, because it's no disrespect. I just have a hard time pronouncing these names. But look, this team needs to address offensive line. They lost some offensive line help in the free agent market, and Vega was incredible, you know, in college. He's a plug-and-play starter at day one, in the offensive line at the guard position. He did not allow a sack in his final 31 games in college, which is incredible to do, even at that level. The team has addressed the weapon issue by adding Michael Pittman, Rico Dowdle, as well as some defensive signings to kind of bolster their defense. So I think that solidifying the offensive line with the 21st pick is the best way to go for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I think he's the best guard in the draft, and I think he's going to slide right in to where Isaac Seumalo, who left in free agency, was at the guard spot. A no-brainer in many respects. At 22, we're standing pat, status quo. First time around, we had Alabama offensive lineman Caden Proctor, 6'7", 366-pound mountain of a man, and we're going to keep Proctor with the Chargers. Now, I think, truth be told, Mike McDaniel would have loved to have Kenyon Sadiq, but he's not available. So you've got a guy who can play tackle. If for whatever reason you think that he's more adept at playing in the interior, he's athletic enough, good enough feet to slide inside. But you have to remember that Justin Herbert has played behind a decimated offensive line for the majority of his career. Last year, you saw both tackles, Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt, get injured. Presumably, they'll both be healthy. Who knows how long they'll both stay healthy? So Proctor gives you a little bit of position flexibility. I think it makes too much sense for Jim Harbaugh to pass up.
Look, we're doing the same thing for the pick team pick of 23 here. It's your team. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. No secret that their offensive line was a disappointment last year, given the production of both their running and passing games. So we have them sticking with the guy we picked in our first mock draft, and that's offensive tackle Blake Miller from Clemson. Could be a really strong right tackle for this team for a long time. Now, I know that the Eagles have, you know, their veteran tackle Lane Johnson coming back. Obviously he was injured last season. So, who knows how long he's going to be there. He's getting up there in age. So again, you're getting a guy here who could be your right tackle for the next decade and essentially take the torch from Lane Johnson. I think that makes a lot of sense for Howie Roseman, Nick Sirianni, and that Eagles offense. They addressed some of their issues on defense by, making some signings after losing a guy like Jalen Phillips and N'Kobe Dean. So I think this makes the most sense for your Philadelphia Eagles, as much as it pains me to say.
Yeah, Lane Johnson's coming back for one more year, presumably. Seeing is believing in terms of whether he can play a full season. So I think Miller's actually going to get some playing time this year, but he would be projected to be the long-term answer at right tackle. And at 24, Cleveland Browns, making their second selection of the first round. We had them taking Monroe Freeland, offensive tackle, with their first pick. They still need a weapon, a wide receiver. I'm giving them Indiana wide receiver Amari Cooper, Jr. That was for
that was our Patriots pick last year. Last time. That's why I'm sad.
Yeah, that was the Fernando Mendoza's number one weapon. A tough player, goes over the middle, great balance, just a quality addition to a team that needs pass catching help. I think Cooper could go earlier. I'm a little torn about where he'll actually go. I think earlier in the draft process, people thought he was a fringe first round pick. I think he's creeping toward middle of the first round, but if a team falls in love, who knows? Maybe he'll go even sooner.
Absolutely. Moving on to 25, we have the team staying at the pick this time around. And as you know, in our first round draft, we had a trade for this pick. This time, no, the Bears want to make their selection here. Dylan Tiedemann, Oregon safety, I think is going to be a great fit for this Chicago Bears defense. We know that they need help defensively. They were kind of exposed last year in the playoffs. So I think Ben Johnson going out and addressing his secondary, adding to what he's already done in free agency this year, bringing in Kobe Bryant from the Seahawks, among others. But I think he can be a real rangy player for this team. He can kind of play all over the place in the slot, in the box. He's good against the run, good against the pass. He can be a real playmaker for Ben Johnson's defense. And I think that's what this team needs in order to, again, continue to ascend and build on the performance that they had last season.
Yeah, they need to rebuild that secondary after losing a bunch of guys in free agency. At 26, I'm taking the Buffalo Bills. And I'm sorry for Josh Allen. He will not be getting help with this pick. We're going with Clemson edge pass rusher TJ Parker. He's a player who didn't particularly play well in 2025, but kind of got back in good graces with NFL teams with his Senior Bowl week performance. He was a standout the year before in 2024 with nearly 20 tackles for loss, 11 sacks. He's a bull rusher. I think there are teams out there who believe the 2024 version is the version that they're going to see at the NFL level. We saw them add Bradley Chubb, I think an overpay in free agency. Joey Bosa's not coming back, so they certainly need to address the edge position. To me, TJ Parker does exactly that.
Absolutely. 49ers are on the clock at 27. Look, in the first draft, we had them trade up to beat the Buffalo Bills to a wide receiver. This time around, we're not going to have them target a wide receiver, given the fact that they signed a pretty good one in free agency in Mike Evans this year. But we do have them sticking on the offensive side of the ball, but we have them shoring up their offensive line, drafting Utah tackle Caleb Lomu. Look, Trent Williams is getting up there in age. You know, that is the most valuable position on the offensive line, is that left tackle position. I think Lomu can play that position. If not, he can be a solid right tackle. Obviously, he has some work to do. He's not a finished product coming out of the draft. But I think that getting him into Kyle Shanahan's system now, even if he's got to sit and learn a little bit from the elite, you know, left tackle Trent Williams, I think that could go a long way to help his development. But ultimately, I believe that the 49ers addressing this need to protect their quarterback, Brock Purdy, is the way to go for them here late in the first round of this mock draft.
They need to find tackle help. I'm not sure how much mentoring Trent Williams will do, because I'm not sure Trent Williams will be on the San Francisco 49ers.
May not.
I think that they're headed for a divorce, and that may force Kyle Shanahan's hands in taking an offensive tackle who I think has a lot of talent, but maybe does need a little bit more seasoning. Regardless, I think he's going to be thrown into the fire, because I don't believe that Trent Williams will be a member of the San Francisco 49ers in 2026. Now, sticking with the offensive line, the Houston Texans, we knew last season, we knew after the season, we knew before free agency that their Achilles heel in so many ways is their offensive line. They had a Super Bowl caliber defense that, you know, unfortunately for them, had to play alongside a quarterback and offensive line that was lacking. I think they go with Arizona State offensive tackle Max Ihanachor. I mean, this is a player who hasn't played football that much, but has excelled in the short amount of time that he has. A quick study, a quick learner, a very athletic player. Frankly, at a position that the Texans desperately need. Maybe, you know, Houston will add one of these veteran offensive linemen who are still on the market in free agency, but they need to get younger, and I think Ihanachor would help in that regard.
Absolutely. We're going to move it along to number 29, and by way of the Los Angeles Rams, the Kansas City Chiefs are on the clock, courtesy of the trade between the two clubs that sent Trent McDuffie to Los Angeles. Look, we had him at number 9 taking an offensive lineman. Steve Spagnuolo is going to get his wish with this pick. They're going to take Texas Tech edge rusher Cassius Howell. They need pass rush. They need defensive line help. I think Steve Spagnuolo is going to be very happy with this pick, even though he's a little slightly undersized. But, you know, he has an incredible inside spin move that I think that, you know, give Steve Spagnuolo some time to continue to develop him. He has the opportunity to become an elite player, you know, for the Kansas City Chiefs, and really, again, help this team kind of turn around their subpar 2025, you know, season.
Yeah, great high motor player. I'm curious to see if Hal's going to be a three down player right away. There's a debate about whether that'll be the case, but quality player. Now we're moving to 30. With yet another team with multiple first-round picks, and this is the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, the pick from the Denver Broncos in the Jalen Waddle trade. They do need wide receiver, as we mentioned earlier. I am going with Washington wide receiver Denzel Boston. What I think is curious and interesting about Boston is that the game tape speaks for itself. Big-bodied guy, great red zone threat. Pure speed is not his game. He elected this week not to run at Washington's pro day, so no 40 time for him. I don't think that really hurts him. I think if you're the Miami Dolphins, you're looking to get younger, you're looking to improve in an obvious area of need now without Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, you know, who was released earlier in the offseason. To me, Boston makes a lot of sense for them to kind of start upgrading this offense.
31, the New England Patriots are on the clock. Wait a minute. We have a trade in our mock draft that has not actually occurred yet in real life, and it's the Eagles going to be on the clock. You're only going to need one guess on who the Patriots are going to get for this pick, and it is elite wide receiver A.J. Brown. So me being sad about Omar Cooper not being here at 31, I don't care. I got A.J. Brown. But we do have to make a selection with the Philadelphia Eagles here. We did just have them pick a few picks before. We had them address their glaring offensive line need. Here, because they decided to make this trade with the Patriots and give me make my offseason the happiest thing ever, we're going to have them fix their defense. I'm going to be nice. I want the Eagles to be rewarded for this trade. They're going to take Missouri edge rusher Zion Young. Look, the Eagles, no question, they lost N'Kobe Dean. They lost Jalen Phillips. They need pass rush help to rebuild and restock that defense going into 2026. Missouri edge is a monster of a dude, you know, 6'6", 262, incredible athlete. I think he could slot right in on Vic Fangio's defense there in Philadelphia and really help them move forward.
Yeah, they desperately need edge pass rush help. Jalen Hunt and Nolan Smith, that's not going to get it done. They need more, and I think that Howie Roseman would love to have gotten a wide receiver there. Maybe if Denzel Boston were available, he would go that route. But if not, you can't go wrong with the way this roster is set up, getting another pass rusher. And look, I think this AJ Brown trade is going to happen. You know, there's a lot of discussion about whether it's going to happen before June 1st, after June 1st, because of the cap hit. The bottom line is that the Eagles currently have about $40 million in salary cap space. If they do, in fact, trade A.J. Brown before June 1st, they can absorb that. I think it's a fallacy to suggest that they cannot. I think it's a red herring to suggest that they have to wait until after June 1st, because if they trade A.J. Brown before June 1st, they will still have $20 million of salary cap space, because it's a $40 million cap hit for trading A.J. Brown, dead money charge, but he's already counting $20 million if he's on the team. So it's a net difference of minus $20 million, and they currently have $40 million. So again, they would have $20 million of salary cap space left, which is more than enough salary cap space to sign your rookies if they were to trade A.J. Brown. The downside, of course, is that they take the $40 million dead charge in 2026 instead of spreading it 2020 in 2026 and 2027. Ultimately, none of that matters. The Eagles have ample salary cap space in 2027. They can absolutely move A.J. Brown before June 1st. I think this is more Howie Roseman being pretty shrewd and telling other teams, specifically Elliott Wolf, Mike Vrabel, and the New England Patriots, oh, well, hey, you know what? We're taking this big hit if we trade him before June 1st, so you got to give us a little bit more. I think that's a bunch of gamesmanship on Howie Roseman's part, and anybody who understands the numbers knows full well that they can easily trade A.J. Brown before June 1st. And frankly, it doesn't look like the Los Angeles Rams are serious players. It doesn't look like there's another team out there who's a serious player. And if you're Mike Vrabel, who desperately wants A.J. Brown, I think you're foolish to think that he doesn't. And I think you're foolish at this point to understand that A.J. Brown wants out of Philadelphia. He does not want to play with Jalen Hurts. This fit seems too good to not happen. And that's why I think when the 31st pick of the NFL draft rolls around, the Philadelphia Eagles will be picking and not the New England Patriots.
That is music to my ears, Manish. I've been waiting so long to hear you be on board with this trade.
I'm not on board with my the ears. Trade.
I am not saying on board it's going to happen. Trade.
I think it's going to happen now. I think it's silly that they're going to trade a talent like A.J. Brown, but it's apparent, reading the tea leaves, that A.J. Brown simply does not want to play for the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts anymore.
Music to my ears. I cannot wait for the day that it actually happens. Manish, close out this mock draft with 32 and the Seattle Seahawks on the clock.
All right, we're ending with back-to-back trades. And Super Bowl winning general manager John Schneider of the Seattle Seahawks has a penchant for trading down and trading out of the first round. I don't think he moves very far. I think he goes from 32 to 34, which is the second pick of round two. Makes it a deal with the Arizona Cardinals, who trade up for Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson. I do think that the Arizona Cardinals are going to be squarely in the mix for the number one overall pick and likely Texas quarterback Arch Manning. But Ty Simpson is an interesting player that you can throw into the mix. If it doesn't work out, it's not that big of a deal. But I think there's a key point to know here, and that's that the Arizona Cardinals would get the fifth-year option rights for Ty Simpson by making him a first-round pick. If you took him at 34, you wouldn't have that kind of extra control. You saw this several years ago when the Baltimore Ravens traded with the Philadelphia Eagles, actually, to move up into the first round for Lamar Jackson. I just think from a strategic standpoint, it makes sense for Arizona to do that. Unless they're content rolling out Jacoby Brissett for the 2027 season, I think that you're going to take a flyer on a quarterback. Why not take it late in round one? You're also leapfrogging the New York Jets. I don't think the Jets would be interested in Ty Simpson, but maybe they would. It's too much of an unknown right now. So, you know, minimal cost to move up from 34 to 32. And this does not affect the Seattle Seahawks and John Schneider one bit. They're going to take whoever they want at 34, pick up some late draft capital. But this is a way for Ty Simpson to sneak into the first round, the second quarterback taken. I do think it's an exceedingly weak quarterback draft. But if Simpson were to fall to 32 with that fifth-year option still available for some team, I think a team like the Arizona Cardinals would take advantage of it.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, to only move up two spots there, I can't imagine it would be an astronomical price to pay. And for a team like the Cardinals, you want to take a dart throw, and if it hits, you get that fifth-year option. It makes perfect sense for them to make that.
Yeah, and look, day two is interesting. The way this mock draft fell, there's a lot of good players. There's still Notre Dame wide receiver Malachi Fields, Oklahoma outside linebacker, edge pass rusher who didn't particularly do well in the combine. R. Mason Thomas is available as well. Just a lot of interior offensive linemen too. So I think teams at the top of the second round, the New York Jets, and in our scenario, the Seattle Seahawks, are going to get a really good player. A player who you can effectively say is first round quality.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, a lot, especially when you talk about, you know, Malachi Fields in the wide receivers, it's so easy to find, you know, that talent in the day two of the draft.
Yeah. We'll see how things change over the next several weeks, but I think this draft is markedly different from our first version because free agency just changes the complexion of every team's needs. And then shifts, you know, players' value in some respects and where they fall in the first round. So that'll do it for our mock draft 2.0. Again, be sure to subscribe, download, give us a 5-star rating. It will help the podcast grow. Please comment as well. You know, we're on at Tackles Pod on TikTok, Instagram. We're also on Facebook with video clips and highlights from each show. YouTube. Our YouTube channel, we would like to grow that, and we can only do that if you subscribe to the channel and comment. We'll engage back and forth. We want to make this the best possible football podcast in the country. We've made significant strides over the last several months, and we can only continue to grow with your feedback.
We appreciate you all. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Mock Draft 2.0 on the Tackles Pod. We'll catch you next time for some more fun football talk to help get you through the offseason. See ya!